Welcome to this soul-lifting broadcast, which has been put together for your spiritual growth and to make greatness common right where you are. Be sure to make the best of this moment as God takes the lead in all that concerns you.
The power of vision and what it takes to conceive things and to see them come to pass. And it's important for each and every one of us to understand one thing, that notwithstanding what God wants to do in your life, how big or how small or how long it will take, it starts with a desire to follow God. It starts with God awakening your passion within you to see His will done here on earth. You know, Jesus, when He taught His disciples to pray, He said we should pray after this manner, with this pattern. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He said, thy kingdom come, that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There's something in us that should, yearn after God's will being done in our lives and in our world today. The greatest priority of God is that His purpose is fulfilled. And each and every one of us have a part to play in God's agenda being fulfilled in our world today. And that's what we call individual vision, which can lead to the fulfillment of our destinies. And it starts with God steering my heart, God steering your heart. Just, I think, was it Jeremiah that was saying, my heart is indicting a good matter and I will speak. God just has a way of just steering your heart, steering my heart for us to want to desire or understand what He has in mind. And I remember in 2007, 13 years ago, God was stirring my heart, just stirring my heart, stirring my heart. And I started having conversations about the things that God was stirring my heart about. And I didn't even have it clearly to know that maybe I was going to, have to plant a church and all that. I was very content where I was, and I was serving God faithfully at this Christian Center under the leadership of my pastor, Pastor Sam Adeyemi. But fast forward to 2010, it was the right time. And my pastor said, now this is the time for you to go fulfill what God has put in your heart. It was like the story of Abraham, for instance, in Genesis chapter 12. God spoke to Abraham, come out of your people, out of your kindred, and go to the place that I will show you. From time to time, God will stir a desire in your heart. It may be about a need to be met in a people group or in an industry. It may be an entrepreneurial desire to do something that will solve a problem. It may be a calling to ministry. It may be a leading concerning your family, concerning your children, concerning what your family is all about. Also we talk about family vision. Many people today don't see their families as a nation under God that God wants to use. When God called Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, He told him point blank, I'm going to lead you into a different place. I will go to the place that I will show you. And He said, I will bless you, and I will make you a blessing, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. God was connecting the heart of Abraham to his own heart and the things that he had in mind. A lot of the time, my agenda is always different from God's agenda. My agenda is always different from God's agenda in the sense that I may have something I'm thinking about, then there's a divine incursion when God starts to speak into my heart, speak into your heart, and the rest, like we say, is what we call the effect of vision. Vision just coming into your heart, and just like Habakkuk, the prophet, says in the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2, when you read from verse 1, I read it from the New Living Translation. Here, I believe Habakkuk was at a point where he was yearning for more. He was thinking about God must have something in mind. Somebody may be watching me tonight. I don't know which platform you are. Maybe on Facebook, on YouTube, on the website, whatever platform you are engaging this from, on Instagram. I need you to understand something, that there's always a moment in destiny that all God is asking of you, desiring of you, is that you will incline, you will connect, you will seek to understand what He has in mind for you. And when that happens, It demands that you take a position. In Habakkuk chapter 2, when you read from verse 1 here, Habakkuk was saying, he said, I will climb, from New Living Translation, I will climb up to my watchtower and stand at my guard post? Where is your watchtower? Where is your guard post? As we celebrate the 10th anniversary of the Elevation Church, I want to charge everyone connected with this vision that is an opportunity for us for a new beginning, for us to capture again fresh vision, fresh dreams, to pioneer afresh. And it will require that you and I will stand upon our watch, stand upon our guard post, and seek to hear God this season. Because that's where vision starts from. So that we wait, then I will wait to see what the Lord will say, what the Lord says, and how he will answer my complaint. Perhaps the complaint is about just looking for more. What else does God have in mind as we go into a new decade? What is in his mind? What's uppermost in God's mind this season? As you seek him like that, you start to capture a sense of vision. Said, then the Lord said to me, write the answer plainly on tablet so that a runner can carry the correct message to others. Said, this vision is for a future time. It describes the end and it will be fulfilled. If it seems slow in coming, he says, wait patiently, for it will surely take place. It will not be delayed. Look at the proud. They trust in themselves, and their lives are crooked. But the righteous will live by their faithfulness to God. King James says, the just shall live by faith. Now, the last verse there, verse 4, speaks to the fact that there's a difference between ambition and vision. Ambition is what comes out of just desiring, you know, to be like young people around here in Lagos, we say desiring to blow, you know, to make money or to be big or to have influence or affluence. But when God calls, it's beyond that. So tonight I'm going to speak to the imperatives, the attributes of vision. But before I get into the attributes of vision, I need to understand something. Somebody may still be asking me, PG, can you put it in context for us? When you say vision, is it like somebody dreams at night and sees something, or an angel will arrive by your doorstep and say, I am God. I mean, I've been sent by God to you, and I'm sending you to Wakanda land to go, you know, all these kind of things. Somebody may just be wondering right now, what are you talking about? Let me just give you two simple definitions of vision, and then I'm going to speak to five attributes of vision. That's what I'm speaking to tonight. Two definitions of vision. One, the simplest definition of vision is a mental picture of a preferable future. A mental picture of a preferable future. In 2010, or in the years leading to 2010, I started to see a mental picture of a preferable future in ministry. A vision of being able to plant a church that will be literally a breath of fresh air. A vision to be able to plant a church that will be a family, create a family for many. A vision to be able to plant a church where people will be saved, gain freedom from the things that have held them back after they have given their lives to Christ and become a candidate for the kingdom of God and a member of the family of God, then gain freedom from the things that have held them back, and under the grace that God has given us, discover their purpose. And not stop at just discovering their purpose, but going ahead to impact lives with a sense of purpose, just like the disciples of Christ did. And that's why Jesus told his disciples, whoever will be the greatest among you must be the servant of all. The one who has discovered purpose, who is willing to serve God and humanity with passion. And that's what we call greatness at the Elevation Church. And our mission is to make greatness common, to empower you to attain the highest level of distinction and greatness in life, serving God and humanity with passion. And that's what we've been doing the last 10 years. And it started with a mental picture of a preferable future. A mental picture of a preferable future. Also, you can say vision. This definition is from George Banner, a Christian researcher in the U.S. who started the Banner Research Institute. In his book, he said, vision is foresight based on insight with the benefit of hindsight. Foresight based on insight with the benefit of hindsight. So, foresight is what you can see in the future. He said, based on insight, that means divine revelation coming. So this is not ambition. This is not, I'm not doing this because I want to compete with my friend. You understand what I'm saying? You don't want to start a business just because you want to you want to compete with a friend, or you just want to prove a point. When you want to prove a point, that's not vision. That's something else. That's, you know, you can call it ambition or television. You know, but it's definitely not a God-given vision. A God-given vision is not born out of competition. It's born out of a revelation from God. It's foresight based on insight, but also with the benefit of hindsight. This definition presupposes that no time in your life exists in isolation. Our past, our present, and our future are intricately connected. So, vision is foresight. Seeing something that is still in the future, based on insight, but also with the benefit of hindsight, because I think about the trainings, the things that God has taken me through, right from my family, which I've spoken about severally, a peculiar family. I came from a polygamous home, all kinds of learnings while I was growing up in a very diverse home and very permissive, and I can use all kinds of words that will give you an idea of all kinds of things that happen. I mean, you can imagine, the time will not permit me to get into that tonight. You can imagine a Joseph. Maybe I'll get there a bit. Or Joseph. Just what he went through in his father's house before Egypt prepared him for a worst case scenario in Egypt. Because some people want to forget their past so fast. But you need to remember that the skills that you have, the pain of the past, the experiences of the past are all going to be useful in the future. If Moses will not go and watch over Jethro's sheep and take them through the wilderness, he will not know the way through the wilderness when he had to take the children of Israel, which happened to be the core of God's purpose for his life. So a lot of the time, our past will be rehearsal. Our present will be the big deal. And our future is a build-up for the utmost fulfillment of what God has in mind for us. Let me take one or two attributes of vision, or the verities of vision, and then we'll take this further from there. The first one I want to talk about tonight is that a God-given vision is usually not about you. Now, if you're a young person listening to me tonight and you have all kinds of aspirations, you want to be a billionaire. You know, there's also a song here in Lagos or in Nigeria, a very interesting song. I want to be a billionaire. Now, don't play church on me. I know you know the song. So, especially if you live here in Nigeria. Yeah. So, maybe you've been singing that song in your dreams, or even in broad light, and just singing it to yourself, you know, wishing that it will come to pass one day. It's not bad to wish to be a billionaire. Neither is it bad to wish to be the president of Nigeria, president of your country, president of America. You know, elections in America is just in a couple of weeks now. The competition is very strong right now. And a lot of the time, people aspire to do stuff. But when your aspiration is not based on service or solving problems for people, fulfilling God's plan for our world today, playing your part in God's original intention, then it becomes a problem. It's not a God-given vision, because a God-given vision is usually not about you. It's always bigger than you. It's always bigger than you. In fact, literally put, it's usually about other people. It's usually about other people. When God called Abraham, he said, go to the place where I will show you. Genesis 12, and reading from verse 1. Go to the place where I will show you. He said, and I will bless you, and I will make you a blessing, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So it's no longer about Abraham, because the moment that dimension of I will make you a blessing, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed, comes into this context, then it's no longer about Abraham. Because look at verse 2 there. He said, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. It's one thing to wish to be blessed. It's another thing to wish to be a blessing. A God-given vision positions you not just to be blessed, but to be a blessing. Somebody, if you're on social media, can you just go there and type this, say, I'm a blessing. Just say it, I'm a blessing. Somebody, you should type something, say, I'm not just blessed, I'm a blessing. Yeah, I'm not just blessed, I'm a blessing. So you need to expand, you need to allow the Holy Spirit to expand your heart from being someone who just wants a bigger salary or a bigger business or a greater level of influence. You want to be a senator. You want to be a state governor. You want to be a bank MD. Is it just because you want to have an array of cars and homes or houses in different cities of the world? If that's what it's all about, then it's not good enough. It's not good enough. There has to be something that is connected with destiny and purpose and fulfilling God's original intention. So, when Jesus called his disciples in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 19, you know the idea he gave them about the vision of what is going to happen in their life. He said, Jesus said to them, Matthew 4 and 19, the Bible says, then he said to them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. From day one, he made them realize that this is not going to be about you. I will make you fishers of men. I will make you someone who can bring men into the fulfillment of God's purpose for their lives. So this is going to be beyond you. You're going to be blessed quite all right. You're going to be okay. More than okay. But it's not going to be about you. So a God-given vision is usually not about you. It's usually not about me. It's about something bigger than us. And it's about other people. It's about a nation. It's about a people group. It's about solving a problem whilst you have been blessed. Being a blessing whilst you have been blessed. That's what it's all about. And I've seen this happen here at the Elevation Church. Have I been blessed personally? Yes. Have our leaders been blessed? Yes. God has shown his faithfulness in our lives. But this is not about us. It's about someone that needs to get a head start for the fulfillment of their destiny. It's about somebody on the fast lane to hell that God wants to call back home. It's about a marriage that is about to crumble that God wants to save. It's about our nation becoming the most desirable place to live on earth as we influence many more Nigerians to live a life of purpose and service, embracing the spirit of greatness. Secondly, another attribute of a God-given vision is that it will always attract provision. A God-given vision will always attract provision. You know, the word provision is two words in one. Provision. Pro means that which is meant for something. Pro, like you say, pro-democracy. It means people who are an ideology that supports democracy. So if you say a pro-democracy group, it means that they support democracy. So if you say pro-vision, it means for the vision. So when you talk about provision, which is the word that we use for needs being met, a lot of the time we don't know that provision has vision in it. So if I want to enjoy divine supply, if I want to see needs met, I must know that I need to capture a vision. One important thing about a God-given vision is that God empowers a vision that he gives to attract its material equivalent that will make it come to pass. Somebody may be listening to me or watching me tonight, and there's a vision in your heart. There's an idea in your heart. I want you to know that when God starts to work in your life, if he's the one that has planted that idea there, it's not in want or lack of the resources for you to be able to fulfill that idea. Now, I know that sometimes the devil plays a fast one on us when it makes us, it causes us to be distracted, to be looking for resources from a different place, or for us to become manipulative and trying to manipulate our way, even when God has spoken to us, just like Abraham was trying to be manipulative with giving birth to Ishmael, when God said, just wait, I'm going to provide a son, your own son for you. Sometimes we get ourselves into such situations We start out in the spirit, we tend to be ending up in the flesh. We go to the wrong place to ask for provision. We turn ourselves to a doormat where people can just ride on us because we have pulled ourselves down. I want to speak to somebody here tonight. Hear me as I hear God. God is not lacking in divine provision for your vision. Will you pay attention to him starting from tonight? I can tell you for free that God provides for a vision that he gives. The testimony that we've had at the Elevation Church is that of divine provision. It's that of all that we have needed. His hands are providing. Say amen, somebody. Yeah, that's what we have seen. And I needed to understand it quite well. The same God who has met needs here at the Elevation Church will meet you at every point of need as you pursue your God-given vision in the precious name of Jesus. I can tell you point blank that we've never had a better last year since this church started when it comes to provision of resources. Human, material, from day one of this church. Earlier today, we were having a press conference, and I remember Pastor Tunji Yola saying something that he has been here. I think, I'm trying to remember the word he used, not from inception, but pre-inception, something like that. As in, some people have been a part of this from even idea state. That's how God attracted people and attracted resources. And I pray for someone tonight that God will start to open the heavens over your life like never before. If you have been distracted, you are restored tonight. If you have been going down to Egypt, like we say, to wrong places to seek for resources, my God will restore you tonight to make you seek him and look unto him alone in the precious name of Jesus. You know what the scripture says in Isaiah chapter 46 and verse number 11? I love it very much, especially the way it was rendered in the King James Version. Isaiah 46 and verse 11, it says, calling the ravenous bird from the east and the man that executes my counsel from a far country. Yea, I have spoken it, I will also bring it to pass. He said, I have proposed it, I will also do it. But you see, I love the first part, the A part. He says, calling a ravenous bird from the east and the man that executes my counsel from a far country. Even if what you need to fulfill your God-given vision is not within your geographical location, God said, I can call the man that will execute my counsel from a far country. When he talks about a ravenous bird, a raven, they say, is happened to be a stingy bird. Yeah, a bird of prey. Just praying over other animals, but doesn't give up. But the Bible says, I can call a ravenous bird from the east to come and meet your need. And you know, a raven fed Elijah, the prophet, just to prove that God can use anything, even a raven that ordinarily does not like to give. God still uses a raven to feed the prophet. So it shows that God is always there, wanting to meet our needs. And in Luke chapter 22, when you read verse 35, Luke 22 and 35, Jesus asked his disciples. He said to them, and the Bible says, and he said unto them, when I sent you out without purse or script or shoes, King James says, lack ye anything? I'm just feeling King James tonight. Says, lack ye anything? Did you lack anything when I sent you out? You know, two by two, just to go and do my will. Did you lack anything? And they said, nothing. I pray for you in the name of Jesus. From this time, this celebration period, you will be able to say, like the disciples of Christ, that on your path to fulfilling your God-given vision, you will no longer lack anything. In the precious name of Jesus. Human, material, emotional, spiritual resources, whatever resource you need to fulfill your God-given destiny. I pray for you today. You will no longer lack anything in the precious name of Jesus. I'll say better amen, somebody. All right, my third imperative of vision tonight, third attribute of vision, is that vision requires sacrifice. It requires sacrifice. The last 10 years, I have seen many visions come to pass. Many things that God has spoken to us about to do come to pass. I'm speaking to you right here from Peace Conference Center in Lekki, Lagos, This was once a dream that is now a reality. This is the first property, real estate, that this church will ever buy. The first. And now we're counting in numbers, maybe we're in number 3 or 4 right now, of other property that God has given to us that we have been able to, by divine empowerment, to buy or purchase. But this was the first one. And I remember very clearly in 2012, when we had a strategy meeting with the leaders, I went with the pastors to Inagbe Island off the coast of Lagos here, and we sat down and we said, let's plan the next 5 years of this church. And then let's discuss what are the resource needs that we will have. And when by the time we're through, saying we will need this many number of volunteers, we will need this number of people to come into leadership. So we have to raise more leaders. We have to raise more volunteers. Now, this is our growth projection numerically. And so we need this size of property if we will be able to undergird this kind of growth that God is sending to us. And that's how we came to, we need a property not less than 10,000 square meters on this Lekki axis, because at the time, we were already we had a 4,000 square meters of property where we had a tent and we had a car park, and the car park was now overflowing. I think it was that same year that we moved from 2 services to 3 services. And we started to dream for more. And then the first time they brought a proposal to me about a property, and I saw that the value of the property that would be maybe 10,000 square meters and above around this Lekki Peninsula, especially where we wanted, was going to be between 800 million naira and 1 billion naira. As at the time, you're talking about in naira was like 150 naira to a dollar. I'm talking about 2012, 2013. So you're talking about maybe, is it $5 or $6 million for a church of 3 years or so? Pastor Timothy was my PA then. I told him, file it away. Don't allow my brain to crash. This is not about me. It's about God. If God will do it, he will do it. But today, I can tell you for free that God supplied. Yeah. Because by 2014, this property was completely paid for by the end of 2014. Completely. Yeah. And then we've gone, like I said, we've gone ahead. These are not testimonies just to say, this has happened or that has happened. I'm trying to challenge somebody's mind here tonight. That if you will release your faith, vision will always attract provision. Yeah, it will always attract provision. You just need to be able to trust God. Now, vision also requires sacrifice. That's my third point. It requires sacrifice. It requires sacrifice. You need to be willing to sacrifice and persevere. Things will not happen in one day. If it's a God-given vision, you need to give it what it takes. The big question I want to ask today is, what price are you willing to pay to see God's vision for your life fulfilled? What price are you willing to pay? Because many people don't understand that for you to birth anything or to see the will of God done in your life, you have to be willing to pay a price. What price are you willing to pay? It's important that you answer that question. For Joseph in the Bible, in the Old Testament, the son of Jacob, part of the price that he had to pay was an experience that he will have to leave his father's house in a very unpleasant manner to go into slavery. Abraham had to leave the familiar territory to go into a place. The vision that God had for him could not be fulfilled in Haran, where he was. He had to go to Canaan. He had to go to the promised land. David had to suffer persecution from Saul before he could ascend his throne. Though Samuel already told him, God will make you a king over his people Israel. But he had to suffer persecution. Saul almost took his life. Sacrifice. But David followed carefully with the right heart and sacrificed. Life is about pay now and play later, or play now and pay later. I can tell you categorically that the last 10 years, we've seen God giving us grace to pay now so that we can play later. I'm looking forward to my old age, and I believe by the grace of God, that God will satisfy me with long life so that I can I can see my children's children and be able to cater to them and do it with grace and with divine provision, because we are paying the price right now so that we can play later. And that's how God wants us to live our lives. Pay now, play later, or play now and pay later. Many people want to stroll to a goal, and you don't stroll to a goal. To achieve any goal, you have to be willing to sacrifice. What are you willing to do away with? What are you willing to press against to be able to see the vision of God for your life come to pass? What are you willing to just look away from? You know, before I move on this, let me just read the scripture. Philippians chapter 3, when you read verse 13 and 14 in the New Living Translation. Paul, the writer of the book of Philippians, was saying this. He said, "Know, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past, looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race, receiving the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us." Paul said, "I press, I press, I press, I press." I pray for you tonight that all that it will require for you to pay or sacrifice something right now, something that looks good right now. Myself inclusive, and a lot of our ministers and pastors who are now in full-time ministry, we have to sacrifice leaving something behind, leaving a job, leaving an environment, to be able to put all of our attention on this. And today, to the glory of God, we see that the vision is speaking. What are you willing to sacrifice? What are you going to leave behind to be able to fulfill God's dream for your life? We are grateful to God for the presence of mind and the grace that He has given us this last 10 years to be able to sacrifice, to lay some things aside. And that's why when you see the documentary that we have put together over the last 10 years, the bulk of the story, you see that it's a testimony of faith, of courage, and a lot of sacrifice. A lot of sacrifice. I don't want you to miss it this Saturday, 5:30 p.m. after the 10 hours of praise. We're going to premiere this documentary that shows a bit of our story in terms of all that has gone into the last 10 years. I feel like maybe I should just share a snippet of it with you before I go on. I have two more points, attributes of vision, and then I'm going to start to wrap things up. Now, the fourth attribute of vision, just going ahead straight with my discussion tonight, I have just two more, and I'll wrap this up. The fourth attribute of vision is that vision, God-given vision, necessitates discipline and focus. Discipline and focus. It will require a lot of discipline and a lot of focus to back what God has put inside you. To bring out into become, or I mean, for it to become a physical reality, a mental picture of a preferable future that God gave to you. You know that God gave Joseph in the Bible a vision that he would see his brothers and his parents bowing down to him, that he will literally rule over them. And he was yet a teenager when he got this vision. But if he was told the sacrifice and the discipline that he had to go through, perhaps he would say, "God, keep that vision." But sometimes we don't have the luxury of choice as to whether we want the vision to be fulfilled or not. It's God's divine ordination, and God starts to put you in situations and circumstances that will bring the best out of you for you to be able to fulfill that vision. And some of those situations will demand discipline and focus. Joseph, in Potiphar's house, had to look away from the allure of, being intimate with a beautiful woman, the woman of the house who had means and, could manipulate her way through anything. Joseph should have felt a sense of safety that, we can live in sin together and we'll be safe because this woman has power. She has manipulative power over even her husband. and I can become a G, you know, in no time. I can become a big guy, you know, in this house. I can have access, you know, to the affluence of the house and all that. But it would have terminated God's divine vision for him to become a prime minister in Egypt if he had gone through that route. And the presence of mind and the grace to be disciplined was made available to him. I pray for you tonight that every weight, every sin that easily besets, that God will give you grace to walk over them in the name of Jesus. That you will no longer be pulled down and taken off course from God's purpose for your life because of your lack of discipline in the name of Jesus. You know what Proverbs 29 and verse 18 says? It says, where there's no vision, the people cast off restraints. One translation says, where there's no vision, the people run wild. Yeah. Run wild when there's no vision. Vision constrains you and I to become a disciplined and a focused person. A disciplined and a focused person. Look at the New Living Translation of Proverbs 29 and verse 18. It says, when people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. But whoever obeys the law is joyful. When people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. Divine guidance there is used, you know, generically to just symbolize what God may be calling you to do or leading you into. When people, when there's no vision, when we refuse to embrace vision, it says people cast off restraints. The people run wild. You will not run wild this season. Grace will preserve you in the name of Jesus. Every destructive habit that seeks to limit you, seeks to limit you from fulfilling God's plan for your life, tonight I speak against them in the name of Jesus. The one who kept us the last 10 years of pursuing this vision without scandal, without anything that can bring disrepute to the name of Christ, it will keep you on your job, it will keep you in your business, it will preserve your family, that you will be preserved blameless and spotless in the name of the Lord Jesus. Can I get a believing amen from you tonight? So vision necessitate discipline and focus. Yeah. Necessitate discipline and focus. In Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 1, they said the vision, verse 2 and 3, the vision is for an appointed time. He said, though it tarries, wait for it. If it looks like it's delaying, you don't cast off restraints. Don't run wild. Just wait for it. Because he said it will come to pass. Yeah. Though it tarries, wait for it. It will not be delayed. It will come to pass. And when things look like they're being delayed, there's always a temptation to cast off restraints, to start to live anyhow. One translation, I think the Living Bible translation, says, when there's no revelation of God, the people live anyhow. How are you living your life right now? This is not a time to live anyhow. This is not a time to live anyhow. It's not a time to live anyhow. You know what Ephesians chapter 5, when you read from verse 15, says? He said, watch your steps, use your head. He said, these are dangerous times. He said, don't live carelessly, unthinkingly. He said, understand what the will of the Lord is. I'm reading that from a Message translation of Ephesians chapter 5, when you read from verse 15, 16 down to 17. Yeah. So the Apostle Paul there was saying, there's a way to live at certain times. There's a way to live at certain times. He said, don't waste your time on useless work, mere busy work, the barren pursuit of darkness. He said, expose these things for the sham that they are. It is scandal when people waste their lives on things, on useless things. Can you go to the? He said, on things they must do in darkness where there, where no one will see. He said, rip the cover off this fraud and see how attractive they look in the light of Christ. Wake up from your sleep. Climb out of your coffin. Christ will show you the light. So look at what I'm saying. He said, so watch your steps. Use your head. Make the most of every chance you get. These are desperate times. Next verse, please. Yeah. Don't live carelessly, unthinkingly. Make sure you understand what the master wants. And that speaks of living principle-centered, disciplined, and focused life. There's no better, sure path to the fulfillment of God's purpose, God's will, God's vision for your life than living that way. So if you feel that a vision has become far-fetched, things are not happening the way they're supposed to be happening, please check your life. Yeah. Check the places where you have been careless and where you have handled things anyhow. Perhaps God is using this time that we're celebrating our 10th anniversary to wake you up, to climb out of the coffin, to come out of darkness and come into his marvelous light. And let him show you light and guide you into what is ahead of you, helping you to live in a disciplined manner and in a very focused manner. Now, the last attribute of vision that I'm sharing tonight is that vision guarantees divine preservation. In John chapter 10 and verse 18, Jesus said this emphatically. He said, "No one takes my life from me, but I lay it down myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again." He said, "This command I have received from my Father." A man of vision will enjoy divine preservation. For a man that is living anyhow, aimless, purposeless, visionless, there's no guarantee of long life. Yeah. Because you're not just supposed to be existing here, just encumbering anyhow, you know, the space. What God wants is that as we trust him for long life, we focus, just like the scripture says in the book of Psalms, it says, teach us to number our days, from Psalm 90. It says, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. As we number our days, we're supposed to gain a heart of wisdom, which is we progress progressively, just embracing the things that God has in mind for us, living a life of purpose, a life, of distinction, a life that is focused on fulfilling destiny. So when Jesus hung on the cross, you know what he said? He said, "It is finished. It is finished. It is finished." God's purpose for you and I is that by the time he will be calling us home, we will die empty. So a man that's fulfilling vision will enjoy divine preservation. Even if you are God, won't you be delighted in keeping somebody alive who is doing a great job? When you read Luke chapter 2 from verse 25, there was a man called Simon who was in the temple, Luke 2 and 25. And the Bible says, Simon said emphatically also, just like Jesus said, "No man can take my life from me." Look at what Simon said when they brought Christ to the temple to be dedicated. And he saw Christ and he recognized him. And he said this, Luke 2 and 25. He says, "And behold, there was a man," the Bible says, "there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him." Verse 20 says, "And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ." What a revelation. Yeah, he had that vision that he would not see death until he had seen the Lord Christ. Give me verse 27. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his hand and blessed God. He blessed God and said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word." Said, "For my eyes have seen your salvation," the salvation of Israel. What does this mean? When Simon picked Christ in his hand, this was a vision that God has given him, that he will not die until he has seen the Lord's Christ. When he saw Christ, he said, "Now, I want to go. Let your servant depart in peace. For now, my eyes have seen the salvation of Israel." Is there something that God has put in your heart that you know that God will keep you alive to see it happen. So that when it happens, you can say, like Paul said, he said, now I'm about to depart. Paul was writing to, I think, to Timothy 2 and was saying that I'm at the departure lounge of life. How sweet will it be to anticipate death, not with trepidation and fear, but with excitement that it's time to step to the next level. Death for a believer is not, it's not an end, it's a bend. It's a translation or transition to glory, a different realm completely. So as a believer who is pursuing a God-given dream, we are not supposed to be afraid of death. We should know that God who has given us a dream, he will keep us alive to see it fulfilled, at least to the point that is ordained for us. For instance, personally, I know ministry is a marathon, a relay marathon. So we run with endurance. We pace ourselves, manage our energy, and at some point, hand over the baton. And when that happens, we can safely say, Lord, whenever you are ready, we're ready.
Thank you for listening. We hope you are truly blessed. Please feel free to email us at info@elevationng.org for all inquiries or to share any testimonies. You can also follow us on our social media channels @ElevationNG to have access to real-time updates on all broadcasts and special programs. Till we come your way again, keep making greatness common.